Where did it all go wrong? Where did it all go wrong? Zach has mentioned to us in prayer concerning the state of affairs in this nation. As we think about things in the world, don't we sometimes wonder, where did it go wrong? A world of violence, of burglaries, of terrorism, of gun crime, of knifings, etc., etc., etc. Where did it go wrong? Well, of course, you could have invited somebody up here this evening, and I even might take the position of explaining to you issues of poverty, issues of poor education, poor housing, racial discrimination. I might even wax lyrical on political issues. Perhaps there might be some justification to a greater or lesser extent in those things. But tonight we want to know, where did it all really go wrong? And so Zach has read to us where it did go wrong all those years ago. Factually and actually, it took place like this. It all went wrong those years ago, back in the Garden of Eden, when our first parents rebelled against God. This is history. This is fact. This is where it all went out of control. But of course, gloriously, wonderfully, everything in the beginning was gloriously right, wasn't it? Everything was in perfect harmony. Because man was in a place given to man by God and was living according to the ways of God, and therefore there was harmony, therefore there was perfection, and everything, we might say, was just great. That was the situation. Three things we might observe from chapter 2 that we've read. The man was created by God. We are God's creatures. Chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man. And we read in the latter part of the chapter from verses 18 to 25 how a woman was brought to the man, and they were both blissfully together in harmony with no shame. Beautiful situation created by God. A man was blessed by God with a place to live. Verses 8 through to 16 of the passage recording some of the detail of that beautiful place where man was set. And then finally there was a warning, wasn't there? In that scene right at the beginning, there was a warning. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That little test, you might say, that the creatures of God might be obedient to the holy ways of God, and they would have delight in all of the ways of God if they just kept to the rules, as it were. Well, that's how it was. But then it all went horribly wrong, didn't it? We, May 27th, 2007, are living in the consequences of it all going horribly wrong. So tonight, as we come to particularly look at the verses, chapter 3, verses 1 through to verse 6. We're going to think about the three individuals involved here, the three characters involved here, and see what we can learn for our own situations as we remember this is where it all went wrong, and it has ramifications for us down the ages still today. So we come to think first of all of Satan. We read in chapter 3 and verse 1 of the serpent. Now, who is this serpent? Well, the serpent is one that we might say has been taken over by Satan. Right at the end of the Bible in Revelation in chapter 20 and verse 2, we read about the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan. The one who is set in rebellion against God and hostility towards man. He is the slanderer, the devil, who accuses, who has hard things to say continually about everything from God. And he is the adversary, the one who is set against God. And he's still around today. He's still real. Satan is real. And Satan is set against everything that belongs to God. So that's the first point. As we're thinking of Satan, let's think first of all of him as the one who hates God. Hatred burns in his heart still today against God. He is bent on destroying everything that is for the glory of God. And so can you see? Everything was for the glory of God in chapter 2, and immediately this evil one, as he is described in the Bible, comes with bitter hostility in his heart, set to destroy, set to damage, set to harm. Still about that business today, of course. Set to destroy, set to harm, set to destruct. Remember that. Satan is real, and Satan is set against God. Of course, he says, interestingly, doesn't he, in verse 5, as he's speaking to Eve, he says, God's stingy to you, Eve. He says, verse 5, he said, for God knows that in the day you eat, that is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And he's basically saying, God's been stingy to you. God doesn't want the best for you, is what he's saying to Eve. He's saying bad things about God. And people still today, energized, we might say, by Satan, walking in the ways of Satan, are saying bad things about God. Let's have none of that this evening. We trust want to be for the glory of God this evening, to resist the ways of Satan. Well, the second thing about Satan is he hates people. Because people, as we've read in chapter 2 and verse 7, are created by God, created in the image of God. He hates people. He wants the harm of God's creatures. Remember, we're created in the image of God. We are created for the glory of God. Remember that? Our reason for being in this world is not to enjoy ourselves or to get as much pleasure experiences for ourselves that we can obtain. Our reason for being in the world is the glory of God. Set that in our minds and as our goal, remember it. And of course, Satan, set against God, wants to bring us down. And right at the beginning, he was set on that, wasn't he? Bringing down those two original people. Well, therefore, what are we to do? Remember that Satan is one who's going about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour people, seeking to consume people, seeking to mess up people's lives. Yes? So we should resist the devil. Yeah? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Let's remember, I want us just to be really aware tonight that Satan is real. And if you laugh at me, and if you scorn me making that statement, you are involved in one great own goal. Because Satan loves people just to think that he's not there, and he just loves to watch over people's lives and to mess them up without people realizing it. Let's get wise tonight and realize Satan, Revelation 9 verse 11, one of the names for him is Apollyon the Destroyer. And he's still destroying people's lives. You go out into St. Margaret's tonight and you won't go far before you'll find somebody who's just been messed up, destroyed, because they pursued the ways that Satan loves, the ways of sin. Well, let's think thirdly then, about Satan and his nefarious ways, that he is the one who hates the Word of God. He hates God, he hates people, and he hates the Word of God. Look what he says. His first engagement, as it were, is to undermine the word of God. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says in the middle there, he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Has he really said this? You see what he's about? He's seeking to undermine the word of God. He's seeking to put some question marks concerning the word of God. And of course, he's very much about that business today, isn't he? Filling people's minds with question marks. And people are led to think that this book is not truly the book of God. We believe it is the book of God. That's why I'm not just telling you some political message tonight. I delight in, can I say that, to just go to the Bible and say, well, this is what really matters. So he's seeking to undermine the word of God. And there's so much like that today, isn't it? Be wise, all of us, particularly youngsters, you younger ones who are in school, who are hearing about how we're millions of years old and we've evolved from apes and all of the evolutionary teaching that goes on today in different guises and different forms. It's basically an attempt, energized by Satan again, to undermine the word of God. Because when you've destroyed God as creator, you're set on destroying the whole lot, can we say. So let's resist these things. Satan is undermining the word of God. We believe God is the creator. We believe in the beginning all things were created by God for the glory of God. Secondly, then, as we think about him and his hating the word of God, he plainly, straightforwardly contradicts the word of God, doesn't he? In verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And what did the Lord God say in verse 17 of chapter 2? You will surely die. You shall surely die. We remember the Lord Jesus said, what did he say about Satan? He's a liar and the father of lies, isn't he? He's a liar. He contradicts the word of God. He says, you won't die. There won't be a problem. And he's still saying that today, isn't he? You just go in the way of sin and it won't be a problem. You just go and enjoy yourself and reject God's things. And he says it won't be a problem. But God says it will be a problem. Sin always leads to harm. Ultimately, it leads to death. Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. So let's remember these things. We stick with the truth of God's word. Let's not have it contradicted. Let's stick with it. Satan seeks to convince us that sin is okay. God says it's not okay. It is rebellion against him and it always leads to harm. Children, perhaps you've been brought up in a Christian home and perhaps it's in your mind tonight that one day I might be able to just go and enjoy myself for a little while and reject God's standards and be free as you perceive it. Perhaps it's in your mind tonight. And then I might return to religion. May I just warn you, you play with those things at your peril. Return and keep with the things of God always. The Christian way is God's way. Don't depart into your own way and the way that Satan loves, because the wages of sin is always death. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Well, let's think secondly then of Eve. We thought of Satan, how he hates God, he hates people, he hates the word of God. Let's think secondly of Eve. This woman who God brought from the side of Adam to be his wife and partner in life. His helper, as it is said there in the word of God. God in verse 16, verse 18 of chapter 2, rather. Eve, what can we make of Eve? She was the, we might say, the first member of the women's liberation movement. The first member of the women's liberation movement. And Satan is set on working into the human race. And he comes against Eve. Very subtly, he comes. Cunning, we read that Satan is, don't we, in verse 1. And he is wise. He's wiser than us. And he comes against Eve, the woman, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, said to be the weaker vessel. She is there made to be the helper. And he comes to attack humanity through this woman right at the beginning. So let's think of Eve. Let's think of her attitude to the Word of God. Let's think of her attitude to the Word of God. Firstly, she adds to the Word of God. She adds to the Word of God. Let's think of that firstly. Reading then in verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, where did God ever say they couldn't touch it? Yeah? She's adding to the Word, you see. You go back to chapter 2 and verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." Yeah? Adds to the Word. It's always a dangerous thing to go away from the Word. Here she adds to the Word. She also takes away from the Word. God had said there in those that opening command that they would freely eat in verse 7 of the tree, of every tree of the garden. And Eve says, doesn't she, in verse 2 of chapter 3, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden." No freely there. Beware how we handle the Word of God. God's Word is perfect. And let's think about how she changed the Word of God. Thought about how she added the Word of God, how she took away from the Word of God. Let's think about how she changed the Word of God. Says at the end of verse 3, Eve's words says that the that if they did take of the fruit and eat of it, lest you die. A possibility, you see. But God said in the original command, "You shall surely die." An actual determined certainty. She changed it into a possibility. Perhaps it wouldn't be too bad after all. And you see, you're setting yourself up for great peril by playing with the Word of God. If only she had stuck to the Word of God. But there she is, set up. Let us be careful with the Word of God. Let's not add to it. Let's not take away from it. Right at the end of the Bible, John says these words, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Hang on to the Word of God in its totality. Let's not change it. If we do, we put ourselves in peril. We tamper with the Word of God at our peril. Eve put herself in great peril by this tampering with the Word. Well, secondly, if we're thinking about Eve, her attitude to the Word of God, firstly, her attitude to temptation. Temptation is when we are given the opportunity to sin. Temptation is not sin itself. But temptation is when we're given the opportunity to sin. Let's think about how this situation develops. As we thought about her attitude to the Word of God, we see how Satan is working to soften up Eve. That question at the beginning, has God really said? And Eve has immediately got these things, these questions in her mind. What should she have done? Chapter 3 and verse 6 to me makes it clear that Adam was there as well. End of verse 6, it says her husband with her. What should she have done? She should have turned to her husband, shouldn't she? She should have spoken to somebody. The one who it appears had given her the Word of God, because in the beginning, the Lord God spoke to Adam. Verse 16 of chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man." She had received this Word of God through Adam. She should have spoken to him. Here we might say is the first communication breakdown in society. And that's a terrible thing that takes place in homes and workplaces, etc. today, isn't it? Communication breakdown. She should have turned and spoken to her husband. to the man. Now, there are perhaps questions in your mind tonight about the things of God. Are these things really true? Go and speak to somebody about it. Don't let it fester. Don't let it seize your mind and your being. Go and get it sorted out with somebody that the word of God is true. The ways of God are perfect. But she took the attitude, I take it, she was going to sort it out on her own. She was going to sort it out on her own. And that can be a perilous thing, because sometimes we think we're stronger than we are. I remember working with a man, and it was oh so difficult, because he always said he knew what he was doing, but in reality he didn't. And so you give him instructions about something to do, and he said, oh, that's fine, I can handle it, I can do that, no problem. And then you know he'd go off and do it, and he wouldn't be able to do it, and he couldn't handle it. And that's really a bit like Eve here. She said, I'll handle it, I'll be all right. But no, she was walking along a pathway which would lead to devastation. So see what's happening. As she said, I can handle it, I can work it out on her own, then she's losing the word of God, as we've already thought, her situation in regard to the word of God. Her attitude wasn't right. She's losing the word of God. And then in chapter 5, as Satan has hit her in chapter 4 by saying, it won't really be that bad. Then chapter 5, Satan said, listen, God's holding out on you. You know, God's basically won't let you have that fruit, because he knows if you do, things will be better for you. You know, you'll be a better person. You'll, what does it say in verse 5 again? It says, God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Saying to her, you know, God's stingy. He's not giving you everything. And all these things are, as it were, going through her mind. And then she thinks, yes, yes, if I go for this, I'm going to be something. I can be like God. Yes, it'll be great for me. And that sometimes happens, isn't it? Sin comes before us. Somebody dangles something. Yes, I'm going to be something. I'm going to be special. And it's all going through her mind. And the temptation is building up. And finally, her eyes are moving. Her eyes are moving to this fruit, aren't we? In verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. The lust of the flesh. It's pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And a tree desirable to make one wise. The pride of life. And it was there. These things are still there today, because 1 John chapter 2 tells us that this is the very essence of the things that are in the world. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And she saw it. Yeah, this is going to be great for me. I'm going to do well out of it. And she took and she ate. Devastating. But what should she have done? Well, our Lord Jesus is the great pattern here, isn't it? In the temptations in the wilderness. And the things that came to him there along these three lines. And where did he go? He goes to the word of God. You see, the softening up had left Eve all at sea as regards to the word of God. But our Lord Jesus, when Satan comes in the wilderness, oh, with regard to the food issue, you know, turn these stones into bread. The Lord Jesus says, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is written. Well, Satan comes again, doesn't he? And on the high mountain, the kingdoms of the world, the eyes, the lust of the eyes. And the Lord Jesus, he comes back and he says, what does he say? It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you will serve. And now there might have been glory in the third issue, pride, glory. Everybody would have thought it was wonderful if he had thrown himself off the mount, off the pinnacle of the temple, and he'd survived, etc., etc. And the Lord Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The word of God, you see, defeats the temptation, settles you on a strong path. Let's get the word of God in our minds. Settle it. Even Christians settle it with the word of God. It is written. It stands written, eternally written, unchangeably written, and will defeat all the wiles of the devil thereby. Ah, but Eve, we might say poor Eve. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, doesn't it, concerning Eve, that she was completely deceived. She almost set herself up for it. The questioning of the word, the lack of speaking to her husband, the believing Satan, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and she goes and consumes. Devastating. Devastating. Sin. Sin. Well, let's think about Adam thirdly. We thought about Eve and her attitude to the Word of God and her attitude to the temptation. Let's think about Adam. Let's think about Adam. Well, can I carefully say to you, he was the first wimp. He was the first wimp. What is a wimp? Well, I use the W-I-M-P, weak in my personality. Wimp. A man who is not facing up to his responsibilities. A man who is not facing up to his responsibilities, afraid. Well, the world is full of such men, isn't it? And you just ask the child support agency about that. And the church has not a few of them either. So let's think about Adam. Let's think about him. I say it's key to the understanding here to me that in verse chapter 3 and verse 6 it says he was with Eve. It seems as though he was actually standing there while this was all going on. And there are two big calls upon his life here. The first big call when Satan comes to Eve and this talking starts, is he going to get involved? Is he going to take the initiative and sort the situation out? Or is he just going to let his wife be threatened by this evil beast? And what does he do? He just takes the quiet road, really, doesn't he, we might say. Too many men are taking the quiet road today and they're not getting involved even to help others, even to help their wives. They just want to stay on the side. He should have got involved, shouldn't he? He said, it's not like that. He should have come to protect his wife. He should have come. It was a call upon him, but he just, well, silence. Huh, far from golden. Silence is terrible. He let his wife go and be destroyed, we might say. Oh, what a terrible thing that was, wasn't it? To see that happen. And then the second big call comes at the end of verse 6. And Eve has taken of the fruit. Eve has taken of it and she ate, it says there in verse 6, doesn't it? And she also gave to her husband with her. Yeah? Yeah, here it is, isn't it? You feel the tension? She was passing it to him. What is he going to do? What is he going to do about this situation? He knew the commandments of God. He knew the glory of God. He knew that everything that God had given to them, he knew that he had received the commandment from the Lord God himself. Who is he going to choose? Is he going to choose God? Or is he going to choose his wife? Is he going to choose a person? Or is he going to choose the God eternal? That's the big question. That's the big call upon his life. That might be a big call upon your life tonight. Are you going to choose God? Devastating consequences, as you might say. He went with his heart. He went with what he could immediately see. And he said, I'll go with that woman. I'll go with her. And devastating, wasn't it? Devastating. He didn't take his stand. And sin came into the world. The woman was deceived, but the man was, we almost might say, far worse. He just went with outright rebellion and defiance of the God who had made him and who he knew in all of his goodness. What about ourselves tonight? We might say to you, to the men here, will you be a wimp? Will you just say, I'll go for the quiet life. I'll go for the pleasures. I don't want God. You know, the reality of the situation is Christianity is not for wimps. You ask, oh, I say carefully, but just think about April the 18th, wasn't it, in that town in eastern Turkey where those three men were, wasn't it? Going for that Bible study in Malatya Evangelist Church, wasn't it? And they were assembling with some people who'd shown interest. Tilman Geske, and Akati Aiden Uga Yuxo. And there they are. And they were mutilated. They were slaughtered. They were taken. Their lives were taken by those men who proved to be Islamic fundamentalist deceivers almost. They took their lives. Christianity is not for wimps. Christianity, the old adage, oh, Christianity, just for old women and children. No! These are the things that are real. Men who are real men are Christian men. And don't believe the lies of the devil that counteract that. So here we go. There it is, isn't it? And it flows out. We've seen Eve, she was deceived. We've seen Adam, he was rebellious, he was defiant. And as we come to conclusion, we see, don't we, the consequences in verse 7 and 8. At the end of chapter 2, there was no shame. They were open, they were naked, and then it's all closing in. It's all falling apart. Here is the precursors of England on May the 27th, 2007. Here are the precursors of everything falling apart. They realized their nakedness, and there was a shame that now come, and so they covered them up, and they flee from God in verse 8. They no longer are comfortable in the presence of God, and they're hiding away, and all the harmony is broken, and there's dysfunctional disunity coming into the situation, and it's all falling apart. And that's where we're at today, really, isn't it? Because men follow in the way of their parents, Adam and Eve. We all are belonging to the forebears which we have. And it says, doesn't it? In Adam, all die. What does it say there? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, for as in Adam, all die. Romans chapter 5, we're all linked to Adam. And we're all flowing along the ways of death, eternal death. Naturally. So that is the situation. Where did it all go wrong? Genesis chapter 3 verses 1 to 6 is where it all goes wrong. Let us be aware of that and let's be wise. Well, our final hymn then. Oh, it can't be, can it? It can't be our final hymn yet. Zach prayed in his prayer. We got to speak about life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, in Adam we all die, but in Christ we're all made alive. In regard to Satan, in 1 Corinthians, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil had worked to bring death, and he's got death under his control. But the Lord Jesus has come along, and through death he's rendered him powerless. The bomb ready to go off. Those who are able to come along and take away the explosive from it, they render it powerless, don't they? That's what our Savior has done through his dying on the cross, through his giving himself. He's beaten death, and now Satan is powerless. Satan is, we might say, defeated in Christ. Yeah? Satan. Well, Eve, she got it all wrong because of her thinking, wasn't it? And we need wisdom. And Adam, he got it all wrong because he was so weak, didn't we? And we need power. And so what does the Word of God say to us tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1, sorry, chapter 1. The Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's why we preach life through Christ crucified tonight. When we believe in the Christ who was once crucified, who's now alive, then we come into contact with the one who is ultimate wisdom and ultimate power. We have the one who is the overcomer. Not in ourselves, for we are lacking wisdom. We are lacking power, but in Christ. So we preach Christ to you tonight with all of the devastation which started there in Genesis chapter 3, which flows on to today. Real stuff happening around us and in our own lives, we say no. Let's come to a better way, the way of Christ, the way of hope, the way of life, the way of wisdom, the way of power in Christ through faith in Him. Because through His cross, He has defeated everything that is against God. Praise His name. So, death reigned from Adam. But in Christ, there is life. Christian, believe it and live it. Non-Christian, don't stay where you are in the way of death. Come into the way of life in Christ. And so we really can sing, can't we now? To God be the glory. Because we found life. And where it is, in Christ. 137 then is our final hymn. And we can turn to it now. Knowing the truth of a perfect redemption, which is the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God.